from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster that's going into a new domain. But I don't mean where you like the URL domain and domain. I don't know, domain's such a, I don't feel like it's a loaded word in this case. If I'm going into a new domain, I feel like I should stop in like a throne room and say, like, get my assignment. I guess I associate it with role-playing games. In this case, it's related to content. And, this content is going to be so pointless and boring and meandering, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep. It's time for Sleep With Me, your friend in the deep dark night. If you're lonely in the deep dark night, if you got thinking, physical sensations, feelings, emotions keeping you awake, I'm here to be your friend, keep you company, and take your mind off of stuff. To cut through that and distract you from it and just talk to you and tell you a little story or look at a Buster Keaton movie in a little while. This show's very different. It does take a few tries to get used to. That's just what most regular listeners say. So see how it goes. I'm so glad you're here. What we got coming up is support. That's how the show comes out free twice a week. And there is a lot of people that benefit from the ad-supported free podcast. And then there'll be a long meandering intro, which is not part of the support. It's meant to ease you into bedtime, get you ready for bed, slowly lower the volume on the day. And then later on, we'll be talking about a Buster Keaton movie. And just see how it goes. I'm here to take your mind off stuff. Ideally, you just wake up tomorrow and say, what was he talking about? Did he talk about, was he talking about those Buster Brown shoes again? Or Michael Keaton, and I think he pitched a movie where Buster Brown is played by Michael Keaton, and I don't remember anything else about it. It doesn't make any sense, but I slept great. So that's what Sleep With Me is. I'm so glad you're here, and welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep, and these sponsors are how we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? How much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, one part of the podcast where I need to, where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors, and I get mixed up on what, this is like the Deep Dark Knight United. I've heard from so many people that benefit from the ad-supported podcast, and it really is a lot of our sponsors are direct response, so it is these listeners who are taking action. I want to thank Neil K. and Neil's family, who all are listeners. And Neil got one of those PolySleep pillows, the pillows I sleep on every night. Let PolySleep know about it. Used our link and our promo code to get a discount. So thank you, Neil. If you ever want to check out our sponsor and Neil's family, what's up, Neil's family? How's everybody doing? Hopefully you'll be asleep soon. If you support a sponsor, use the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. You want to know our sponsors, you could use that or check the show notes in your podcast app. That's the first part of Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second is you getting the support you need. There's links to resources, including international resources you can connect with right now. It's also about being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, but taking action, learning more. There's links to resources where you can do that. A few of the actions we're taking as a show is you could support the Trevor Project using the link in the show notes. You could support the Midnight Mission and building hygiene kits for the Midnight Mission or buying something off their Amazon wishlist. You can use the links in our show notes. And we're also doing this public domain content. And if you want to support at the time of this recording, the writers that are on strike, the performers that are on strike, or learn more about actions you can take to show solidarity with those creative workers, or you can look around, and learn more in your local area. But there'll be links to stuff you could do and to learn more and take action in our show notes. And that's it for me. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Oh no, that's not it. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Posty poster some sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. And edits episodes too. Carl W. the legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget you can get your sleep phones, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones, including Sleep With Me branded sleep phones. Use Sleep With Me to get $5 off your order. And now we'll slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble, getting to sleep, trouble, staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where I can set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts on your mind, things you're thinking about the past, the present, the future. So thoughts, things, thinking thoughts, it could be thoughts about the past, present, the future, even if I'm repeating myself. It could be physical sensations. It could be feelings related to those thoughts or physical sensations or feelings that are just there. It could be all those things. You could be going through something specific or have something coming up. You could have guests or be traveling. You could work on one of the shifts, that impacts your sleep greater than other shifts. School could be starting soon, or maybe it already has, and maybe you're a student or a parent or a kid. And I'm here to keep you company, whatever it is that's keeping you awake. The only reason I go through that stuff isn't to remind you of what's keeping you awake at night. It's to remind you you're not alone. And I realize this is a podcast, it's digital, it's pseudo. But it's true. You're not alone. I mean, a lot of us, you know, when we can't sleep, it feels very lonely. So that's one thing is like, even if you're in bed with somebody else, you're in the same room, you got a dorm room, you got a roommate, you got a parent or child or a sibling in the same room as you, still feels lonely to me and to a lot of other listeners I've ever heard from. But we're alone together and together alone in that sense. But also, whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I want you to know, if I can't relate to how it feels, I probably can. But even if I can't, even if I've never been through what you're going through, what you're dealing with, someone out there that's listening right now probably has been through something similar, or at the very least can relate to how you feel. And they say, yeah, I know. That's tough, and or whatever it is. And I want you to maybe have a little breath here to take that in, because that's the most important thing I'm going to say all night. Even if you never listen to the podcast again, there's other sleep podcasts and sleepy stuff out there. SleepWithMePodcast.com/no thank you has a list of that stuff, because you deserve something that's going to kind of keep you company and take your mind off of stuff. The other thing about the show, the second most important thing, is that you get the sleep you need, so your life is more manageable. And I hope this podcast can provide it or point you in the direction of something that can, because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place you could get some rest and some comfort. You deserve a bedtime you don't have to dread. A bedtime you could say, well, I got that rambling pot guy. And believe it or not, for the first time, who would have thought that it would take him 10 years to cover a silent movie? And some people wish I was a silent, I mean, believe me, if you saw my email inbox, you'd say the amount of people who've never used that analogy but mean it, they say, I wish you were a silent movie. And I say, well, you know, I don't know if that, I totally understand what you're saying, but I'm going to be watching a silent movie and commenting on it, a Buster Keaton movie. I think I'm going to do a couple of these, because when I'm recording this, there's a few different strikes going on. I just don't want to record any new content or put out any content, that's recorded during the strike. That's kind of promoting. Anyway, it's important, but it's not important in this part of the show, because I'm here, I know you just deserve a good night's sleep. I think that's what's important. And, you know, this show's just meant to cut through that loneliness and say, hey, there's other people listening right now that have been there, and we're all listening together. There's somebody else listening right now. Statistically, there's probably, I don't know how many minutes are in the day, so I'd have to look that up. But I guess overlap, you know, listeners overlap. But yeah, there's probably a few hundred or a few thousand people listening right now with you. And some, I don't know, sometimes I find that reassuring. Let me tell you a little bit more about the show, though, other than those two more, you know, after the important things, you and your sleep, is a lot of stuff that does take some getting used to. First thing is, I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, and superfluous tangents, which means I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up. Kind of already have done that a couple times. Going to repeat myself. There'll be a lot of pauses and like word filler words. You know what we say here? Sleep with me. Fill her up with filler words. Sleep with me. Probably, I don't think 33% filler words, but 33% more filler words than anything. I would say a lot more than 33% filler word than most content out there. We're the reason filler words is plural. That was all, sleep with me. Now including gratuitous filler words. yeah. So, sometimes, who would have thought one day, I mean, if I had a time machine, I was going to say a time traveling machine. That sounds very formal. Would you like a trip in my time traveling machine? No, I'm looking for a time machine. Time traveling machine? I don't know. What do you send clocks around? But I never knew. If I went back and, you know, said one day you'll be laughing, I'd say, yeah, right. One day you'll be laughing at filler words. It's, what am I going to become, I don't think I can't conceive of that world, but here we are together in that world. Okay, a couple other things to know. I kind of alluded to this earlier, but this show does take some getting used to. Like, over a million people have told me, when I first listened to this podcast, I stronger than loathed it, and you. And I just didn't get it. I was waiting for it to get started. Then I was waiting for it to get sleepy. And then on the second or third try, I realized, oh, okay, it's always never going anywhere. What cheerleader once said in a cheerleading movie, it's already been brought in. And that's what we do. So it does take some getting used to, just because you're like, you may have an expectation. You may have tried a lot of other stuff to help you fall asleep. You may be frustrated or annoyed. Those are natural feelings. Why wouldn't you be skeptical at the idea of a grown person talking nonsense to you? That makes perfect sense to me. And if you've tried tons of other stuff to try to help you fall asleep, like I have and a lot of other listeners have, but it seems like on the second or third try for a lot of listeners, not every listener, people let me know that the show does work for them on the first try. You just let go a little bit more and you say, okay, or you realize this show's just not for me. And then you check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. And maybe find something that does work for you. So what are the things other than creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, and that there's no counting down or chiming in this episode? What else takes some getting used to? A couple other things. The structure of the show and how you listen. This is a podcast you just kind of listen to. It's more than back. It could be background noise. It could be like a mumble that you barely, it could be a TV on in the other room, or you could just kind of barely listen to me. And you'd say, Buster Keaton, are you going to tell us who Buster Keaton is? And I'd say, well, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll look up the Wikipedia article on Buster Keaton before I watch one of the movies. But maybe not. Maybe, I don't know. But I think Buster Keaton's known as a man with something. I don't know if he has no expressions or too many expressions. I can't remember. I think he's got I don't know. I know very little about Buster Keaton, almost nothing. So that's I'm hoping we'll discover it together. Maybe I'll fall in love with the art, a very popular artist. Oh, Buster Keaton was a silent film star. Just don't worry. I guess I'll look up the Wikipedia. If I remember, I'll look it up. Okay, so what was that? Oh, going off topic. Oh, it takes some getting used to. Oh, just kind of barely listen to me. Obviously, I'm not qualified to be listened to. You see, you're going to do an episode about Buster Keaton film. You don't know which movie yet. I do know. I just don't know it off the top of my head. And you don't know anything about Buster Keaton. Probably don't know much about silent films. You're right about, correct. So, yeah, that's what you don't need to listen to me. This is a show you just kind of barely listen to. Just like an out-of-focus picture, one of those 3D pictures, or someone, like a 3D, where you just kind of, I'm just a little bit fuzzy. This is also a podcast, believe it or not, I think the first sleep podcast, or maybe there was other attempts at it or whatever, but I started making this show back in 2013. I'd had the idea for years, and I thought it was a terrible idea, and that's why it took me a while to make it. But the idea is that I'm not here. I actually don't put you to sleep either. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. You know what? I'm recording in a car and I just saw the cutest little chipmunk run by. Oh, breaking news. There's a chipmunk outside my window and it is beyond cute. It just went in. Oh, no, here oh boy, it's a little tiny one. I know chipmunks are small. It's we're making eye contact right now on the podcast in the intro. I am locked, one chipmunk eye on me, both my eyes on the, now we're making double eye contact. I'm not kidding either. This is not, the chipmunk is staring at, oh, it just it's gone now. Right before I would have, luckily I had to pause the recording if I was going to start singing songs to it. And it would say, that's a gratuitous, the chipmunks are a gratuitous chipmunk content. It'd say, what about, no, don't even get me started with Chip and Dale. Like, look at me. I have stripes and multi, you know. So anyway, I don't really put you to sleep. I'm here to be your friend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your neighbor, your boar burr, your boar bee, your boars, your boar bud, your boar bruh, your boar friend. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. It's almost like I'm providing a digital service versus a podcast. I'm virtually coming over, telling you a story, like, actually, and if you want, you could queue up, there's people that listen all night long. So, I'm here, but there's no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the shows are over an hour, no pressure to fall asleep. The reason there's over, there's 600 free shows, no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the show comes out twice a week, no pressure to fall asleep. I'm here to keep you company. And if you fall asleep, because there's people that are listening that have a kind of sleeplessness where they just can't fall asleep, or people that are listening who need a break during the day. So I'm here for them, and I'm here for you in the same way. Like, the other thing that throws people off is the structure of the show, but the structure of the show is designed in a specific way, but you could kind of adjust how you listen as you become a regular listener. So the show starts off with the greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. That way you feel seen and welcomed in. You say, hey, I could check that show out. I detect it's a little bit silly, too. Then there's support. So paying for the show is optional. And that means a lot to a lot of different people. And if you don't like this support and the sponsors, there's an ad-free version you could get through Patreon or Apple Podcasts. Then there's a long meandering intro, which is separate from the support, which is meant to ease you into bedtime. And the intro goes on and on and on. It's a show within a show. It's not part of the support. It's not part of the story. It's a wind down. It's a transition. It's a twilight period. It's a lowering of the volume. There are people, 2% of people skip the intro. Some people may fall asleep during the intro. That's great for them. But there's people that listen only to intros on Patreon. So, but the intro for a lot of people, it's like they're getting ready for bed, they're in bed getting comfortable, or they're doing some sort of other relaxing activity, light reading, drawing, different types of chill crafts. Not chill, like, there's probably chill crafts. The chipmunk came back and is looking at me again. It must just be that I'm in a car talking. I'm not kidding. I don't mean to brag, but this chipmunk is transfixed. Wow. This is the most attention I've gotten all day. And it's from a chipmunk. I feel like I have an audience. How you doing? Oh, it just did something with his cheeks. I think it's eating while I make the podcast. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's another. Oh, it is eating. It's having a little nut and it's watching me. Cool. Like, this is how good life is. Oh, by the way, I'm in a car. I'm out of town recording. So that's why there's no chip. Sorry, if you're a regular listener. Yeah, I guess you could have used that information earlier. So anyway, that's the intro. Then there's support again, so the show could be free. Paying for it's optional, unless you want ad-free or extra content or whatever. And then there's a story. Tonight it'll be a Buster Keaton film and maybe a little bit of info. Maybe this chipmunk's a Buster Keaton fan. Said, finally, something I could relate to. I don't know why. Like, I don't know why a chipmunk would relate to Buster. I mean, because I don't know enough about Buster Keaton or chipmunks. But yeah, I think that's it. That's the structure show. That's why I make this show. I'm really glad you're here. I really work hard and you're in a nice drive. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple ways we're able to do it for you for free. Yeah, the chipmunk is still watching me for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody.
All right, everybody, this is Scoots here, and we're talking about Buster Keaton. We're going to watch a Buster Keaton film here in a minute, or I am, and I'm going to relay some information to you about Buster Keaton. We're going to be watching Sherlock Jr., which is now in the public domain, so you can find it and watch it wherever you are. Let's see. So this is from the Wikipedia page, Buster Keaton, Joseph Frank Buster Keaton. 1895 to 1966, actor, comedian, director, best known for silent film work, deadpan expression with physical comedy, and Roger Ebert wrote of Keaton's extraordinary period from 1920 to 1929, where he worked without interruption, and Ebert said the greatest actor, director in the history of the movies. In 1996, Entertainment Weekly recognized Keaton as the seventh greatest film director. And let's see, a little bit more. Let's find out the history. So early life in vaudeville. Keaton was born into a vaudeville family in Kansas. His mother, Myra, and I don't see his father's name here, but he was named Joseph to continue his tradition at his father's side. I guess he was the fifth in line. Sixth in line, bearing the name Joseph Keaton. And Frank for his maternal grandfather. Let's see here. We've got, they traveled doing performances. He started getting the nick, he got the nickname as he started performing on stage. Starting at the age of three, they were the Three Keatons, 1899 in Delaware. It was the first performance on stage, a comedy sketch. Then the silent film era. Let's see, Keaton spent the summers 1908 to 1916 at an actor's colony in Muskegon, Muskegon, Bluffton neighborhood of Muskegon. With other famous vaudevillians, then met Roscoe Arbuckle at Talmadge Studios in New York. And his, I guess his father, Joe Keaton, disapproved of films. Keaton also had reservations. But Arbuckle said, hey, let's get in here. And Keaton was such a natural. In his first film, he was hired on the spot at the end of the day. He has to borrow one of the cameras to get a feel for how it worked. And he was soon Arbuckle's second director in the gag department. He worked on 14 Arbuckle shorts into 1920. And he like did not, he wasn't deadpan in these necessarily. He smiled and laughed in them. Keaton Arbuckle became friends. And let's see, Keaton had his first starring role in 1920. Then, yeah, started filming in movies, a bunch of different movies. Then those, I guess these were shorts. Then went to full-length features. Worked with different writers. Switched studios. So there's a lot of stuff here. I want to get in the movie. I was just trying to figure out. Yeah, I'll link to this here because it's so extensive. But yeah, let's get into the movie. How about it, eh? Okay, so this movie is Sherlock Jr. Maybe I should look that up. 1924, Sherlock Jr. Keaton is the director and star. Oh, I don't have internet because I'm in a car. So yeah, we'll just start playing the movie, right? How about it, Scoots? Sounds good, Scoots. You just minimize the screen, though. Let's maximize it, eh? Old open app. Was that Command F or Open Apple F? Not sure. Okay, let's mute it. I don't even know. I'm assuming there'll be things. The movie's about 44 minutes long. And she's getting rolling in the background here. Buster Keaton and Sherlock Jr., directed by Buster Keaton. And Gene Haves, Joe Mitchell, and Clyde Bruckman's story. Elgin Lessey and Byron Hawk photography. And you can see some film grain on the copy I have here. Playing 1924 copyright. Interesting, because I thought, was it 2023? So I don't know. I don't know. I guess this movie is passed by the National Board of Review. Not sure what that means. There's an old proverb which says, don't try to do two things at once and expect to do justice to both. Kind of reminds me of Sleep With Me in a sense. This is a story of a boy who tried it. While employed as a moving picture operator in a small town theater, he was also studying to be a detective. So this will be interesting. A little story. And yeah, but that's one of the theories behind Sleep With Me, though, is that you can't think about two things at once. I don't know if it's, and oh, see, we open on a theater, the lights are up, and there's someone in the back reading a book, How to Be a Detective. His eyes are scanning the page. He closes the book. He's frowning, licks his thumb. Oh, puts his thumbprint on the book. He's trying to see it through a magnifying glass. Now rereading. But the theater's a mess, and now we have a grouchy guy. Say, Mr. Detective, before you clean up any mysteries, clean up this theater. This guy's in a suit. He was reading a book and walking, too. There's a couch at the back of the theater. Catherine McGuire is the girl in the case. Oh, so now we cut to, a dog and a woman. She's feeding the dog. So the girl's father had nothing to do, so he got a hired man to help him. I don't know what that means. We're back at the theater. Some of the movies playing The Fog today. Hearts and Pearls or The Lounge Lizard's Lost Love in Five Parts. He just swept everything into a pile, but he didn't clean up the pile. And Nil, what next week? Oh, there's another movie next week. I can't make it out. He's going over to the cigar and candy store. There's $1 per box for candy. $3 per box for a little bit fancier candy. Across the street is Arden Grocery. He has nothing in there but newspapers. Very, he's a handsome man, I would say, Buster Keaton. He says, would you take $2 for the fancy candy? And the woman working there says, no. She smiles and watches him walk off. He does some more sweeping of stuff. There's a piece of newspaper caught on his broom. Now it's caught on his foot, so we're getting some physical comedy. Now it's caught in his other foot. And this reminds me of like trying to put like being in the bathroom, you get a piece of wet toilet paper stuck on your foot. Oh, then that's funny. So his boss comes out and he put it down so his boss would step on it. He goes out, Okay, now another guy is at the candy shop. He's looking at the $3. His pockets are also empty. He has a bowler cap on. He checks all his pockets, six pockets, checks them twice, and doffs his cap to the woman working the candy shop and walks off. And Buster Keaton just found a dollar in the garbage he was cleaning up. So he pulls two more dollars out, puts his coat on. And somebody else comes and starts looking through there. And she says, I lost a dollar. Did you find it when you were cleaning up? Oh, boy, this is a big moment. He says, in there? Huh. And he says, describe it. And she goes, well, it's a rectangle. About, yeah, definitely a rectangle. And it's got some numbers on there. Like that one. She goes, huh, yeah, that's so great. She folds it up and walks off. He's got $2, though. He even put on his coat, which he kept in a garbage can. Now another person's looking, an older woman. She was blowing her nose on something. And she says, I lost a dollar. He says, well, interesting. He's on his knees now. He's got a tie on and a pork pie hat. And he just describes it, dollar, dollar. Okay, stuff on it. Here you go. What a nice guy. He gives her the dollar. It was his dollar. Then he uses her used handkerchief to wipe his eyes. Then she takes it back and goes off. Now he has $1. And he's kind of bummed out. He's looking at his dollar. Now another person is looking through the garbage. And he just stares at him silently. And he just hands him the dollar. The guy goes, hey, get over here. And then he gives it back to him. He goes, no, 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 I'm looking for something else other than a dollar. He finds a wallet full of like a lot of money. And then walks off. And then Keaton looks through again. Nothing in there. Gets up, checks his pocket. Still got $1. Cigars, confectionery. I think there's a gum thing. He goes in. They also have tables. And he buys a box, the dollar box of candy, heads off down the street. He tries to get rid of the price tag. Oh, he changes it to $4 with a pencil. Now he skips down to a house, rings a bell. The girl that we saw having a picnic with the dog earlier comes to the door, says, come on in. And they want, like, they're kind of awkwardly greeting each other, standing next to each other. She goes, you want to go in the parlor room? He's hiding the candy. She says, yeah. Then actually the guy with the bowler cap that bought the $3 thing, he walks into the house. I don't know if that's her father, but he stops at the parlor. He sees them sitting side by side. Keaton hands her the candy. The other guy's watching. Then he turns it over so she could see that it costs $4. This guy's kind of listening in and watching. He's got a three-piece suit on. He starts going through Buster Keaton's jacket. He steals, he takes somebody's watch and then leaves. I think Buster Keaton just tried to put a foil engagement ring on the young woman. She says, is this for me? And she looks at it and she says, it's actually an engagement ring. It's a very, very, very small diamond, comedically small diamond. She's trying to see it. He gives her a magnifying glass. And then she's still trying to see. He kind of like, they're moving. There's like a lot of physical comedy with like the magnifying glass. And she's still not able to see the diamond. Oh, then we see the pawn shop. The guy sold the watch that he took at the pawn shop. She puts her hand on with the thing. Now they're doing the old awkward, should we hold hands thing. This guy goes back and buys a $3 giant box of candy. Now they're like hands are on top of each other. Nope, Buster Keaton takes his hand back. He's too nervous. And he's holding his hands within a hand. She puts her hand back down, like, hey, hold my hand already. He puts it down. They both jump. This is really, really good comedy. Then this other guy comes in. I guess he's the competition. He's got a giant box of chocolate. And he goes, how about this? Why don't we go in another room and talk? She goes, well, I got to take this giant box of chocolate. I'll be back. Closes the curtains. Keaton's by himself. He's pacing around. He's tapping his legs. Now he jumps up. He's going to watch them. He opens the curtains. The guy's showing off his candy. Keaton doesn't like it, so he charges in. He says, look, I gave her a box of candy first. He goes, yeah, I got more candy. Take a banana. He literally hands him a banana. He says, go in the other room with this banana. The other dude, Keaton opens a banana. Interesting. Oh, he puts the banana peel down to the other guy. He says, hey, come on in here. Let's see if this banana peel thing works. He says, come over here close to the guy. He goes, no. The other guy cuts a John Cleese, like he does look a bit like John Cleese. So I don't know if the John Cleese watched one of these movies. Keaton forgets about the banana peel. Great slip. Does a little dance move. Sits down. Now the third person comes in. Oh, the girl's father and his coworker. And he says, hey, by the way, my pocket watch is missing from my vest. Someone has taken my watch without my permission, which we already know. We know what happened. Mother's there, the coworker, Buster Keaton. Oh, interesting. So he pulls out his how to be a detective thing. The John Cleese-esque guy is like, sees Buster Keaton reading. Rule one, search everybody. But this guy's reading over his shoulder, so he's like one step ahead. I think he has a receipt from the, he just planted the receipt on Buster Keaton from the pawn shop. And he says, hey, it looks like we better call in the authority figures to deal with this. How about that? And the father says, darn right, I will. And Buster Keaton says, hold on. I'll take charge of this. Let's start by checking everybody out and see what they have on them. Everybody empty their pockets, please. But he starts with the girl's father. He goes, dude, I'm the one that lost the watch. So hold your horses. So yeah, the dad says, yeah, I'm the one that lost the watch. So don't be searching me, man. Checking my pockets. So then he goes on to the dad's coworker, the mother, John Cleese, and nothing in his pockets. Then he checks his date's pockets, nobody's pockets. Then he reaches his hand into mine. The other guy says, why don't you check yourself, dude? And the guy goes, dude, and then he goes, yeah, go ahead and check me out, man. And they see like a watch and a chain, $4, 10/23/24, is the date of the sale. And the guy goes, is this a pawnbroker receipt? And everybody's like, wait a second, $4. So a box of candy costs $3. But then the irony is that Buster changed his price of his thing from $1 to $4, which is the exact. Will Smith actually is the person who signed for it at the pawnbroker. Then his date says, I'm incredibly upset by this. I'm going to walk off slowly. Father says, sorry, you're not welcome here. Holy cow. Don't want to see you here again, ever. And he says it gently, though. He even taps his lapel. And Buster Keaton, then the dad says, no, please leave. And Keaton's kind of taking his time. The John Cleese guy's playing with his hat. Then he walks off, hat in hand. His date's at the door. She's frowning. A nice wind coming in. I don't know if it's from the front door or a fan. Takes off her engagement ring and hands it to him. And it's like, he's got to go, holy cow. You realize that, puts it in his pocket. This is where his deadpan expressions are like really good. I mean, he really looks, she's crying. Now he's outside. By the way, house number's 1022, maybe. John Cleese comes out. Keaton says, oh, he was standing on the porch frowning. Now he goes to two. Follow whoever you think it might be. Rule five of how to be a detective. So he's following him, like literally like 1 foot behind him in their the John Cleese character is very tall. He smokes, picks up a cigar off the ground. Really good physical comedy and camera work. And now they cross a dirt street. They get to a train. Now Keaton's still following. They're in like a train yard. They're like reattaching train steam. This is really good. I sorry I made that noise, but it was so unexpected. He's trying to follow him, and then John Cleese notices he's following him. So Keaton goes into a ventilated boxcar, John Cleese closes the door behind him, and then he pops his head out of the boxcar. Now he's on top of the boxcar walking at the speed of the train just to stand. So he's literally walking to stand still. A really, really good effect. And one we've seen in another movie recently. Then he does he gets soaking wet because the thing to fill the water for the steam engine, he's on it. He pulls it down and he gets soaked. Then he knocks two train workers off of a train bicycle. They chase after him. As a detective, he was all wet, so he went back to see what he could do at his other job, like his real job that he gets paid for. And so I don't know if he was supposed to be doing anything there. It turns out a projectionist also has to clean up. Now he's in the projectionist booth, takes off his jacket. He's down, clearly. He's getting the movie ready. He checks the film, first projector, opens the thing, full packed house. And someone's playing the music. Now the young woman goes down to the pawnbroker. She turns in the receipt. Can you describe the man who pawned this watch? And the guy says, he's tall, mustache. There he is. He looks just like John Cleese. So she sees him, but he doesn't see her. She runs off again. Okay, we get back. Movie starts. Hearts and Pearls. There's an organist. Hearts and Pearls opens on a house. Buster Keaton is supposed to get the second projector ready, I think. He looks at his book. He's yawning. Puts his elbow up on the other projector. Falls asleep with his head in his hand. A guy in a suit is looking at Pearls. He puts them in a case, a safe. And again, another guy looks like Jack Nicholson. This is in the movie Hearts and Pearls. Buster Keaton's asleep. Now he wakes up in a dream state. You see his dream self come out of his real self. His dream self makes sure the movie's still playing. And the characters are talking about something in the movie. And then his date and him. Oh no, it's the John Cleese looking character. Is that, yeah. But this guy's a little bit more suave. And then he sees a dream self. He goes, hey, our date and the John Cleese like character are in the movie. And they seem to be billionaires or something. And she's going upstairs. He's following. Somebody else cleaning off their suit. That guy's got a, what do they call those, tuxedo? When your tuxedo goes down the back, top hat, a cane. Keaton's still asleep, but his dream self is, I'm pretty sure that the projector's running out of film or something's not going right, but it's still playing in the theater. He walks into the theater. And so we see the theater and the movie playing and his dream self. He sits down in the middle of the theater in the aisle. He's watching the movie and they're talking about Pearls and romance, I think. Now he says, hey, how about we kiss? He goes, wait a second. This is ridiculous. He jumps into the movie and it's a great seamless effect. Then he gets tossed back out of the movie. Then he gets a hiccups or something. I guess it's more like the Matrix. Then he goes back, tries to get back in the movie again. This time he's trying to sneak in the movie. He's even talked to the audience. He jumps into the movie again. It's at the front door of a house. Somebody with a cane and a top hat comes out. And he checks for his pocket watch. He goes, darn, left my pocket watch inside. Closes the door. Keaton knocks on the door of the house in the movie. Looks back at the audience into the theater. Then it changes to outdoors, and he's in a garden in a brick wall. He sits down. Then he goes to sit down. His chair's gone. Now he's on, like, the side of the road, a busy street. A lot of people walk, and they're saying, hey, bub, get out of the way. A lot of traffic. Now he's pacing. Now he's on a mountain. He was pacing, and then he's on a mountaintop. So it's like every time the film shot changes, but he's not prepared for it, right? Because he's only a sleeping being. Looks over the edge, and now he's in a zoo with wildlife. And a great effect, forest section of the zoo. He's like, this is probably not the best place for me to be. Because now he's in a desert. There's a lot of cactus. He's trying not to bump into the cactus. Then a train goes by at a very high speed that surprised him. And now he's watching the train just sitting there. Then he sat on a cactus. Yep, pulls a cactus out of his rear end. Now he's holding his rear end. Now he stands on a pile of dirt, looks around, sits down on the pile of dirt. Now he's on a rock in the ocean. He gets splashed by water. As a wave crashes over, now he stands up, sits back down, stands up, sits back down. Now he goes to jump in. Now he's in snow, and he jumps off a snowbank into a snowbank. So this is really good. I mean, especially like this is an effect. And also he's about to walk. Now he's on the edge of the movie. Goes to lean on a tree. He's back in the garden, falls down. There's a garden wall. He sits there, scratches his head. It fades out, fades back in on the two people. And we zoom in on them romancing. But they're mostly having a discussion about romance. And the John Cleese character says, why don't you exit the stage? And then the father guy is like, hey, by the way, my pearls are gone from my safe. Someone took them without my permission. And so now we have all the characters from the original watch thing. We see that the John Cleese character and the father's coworker are in cahoots. Father calls somebody. Say he's calling the famous Sherlock Jr., the world's greatest detective. We're totally going to be busted. And the guy says, don't worry about it. I got us covered, bruh. They go into the billiards room. He says, don't worry. Never seen this before. I'm going to put 2 13s. Have 3 13 balls. And he shows the guy again. He goes, all right, I'm going to throw one outside. Oh, they have a little hidden surprise. So he goes, I got two of them. I just used one to show you the surprise. So we'll get this Sherlock Jr. to play pool, and that'll be it for him. And he says, that's pretty complicated. Then he says, also, I put something in a seat there. So I have another, like, this is like a game of a role-playing game, like D&D. If he sits in this seat, then the decorations will fall on him and give him a surprise. So don't worry, we got this. Then the doorbell rings. The crime-crushing criminologist. They open the door, and there he is. Top hat, gloves, very suave. Cane, long coat. Dickensian, I'd say. Maybe striking the cut of the old David Copperfield or somebody. Not Chester Copperpot. He's got a tuxedo on, as everybody does. And he walks up to everybody. He's looking at everybody very closely and staring in their eyes, staring, like over staring in everybody's eyes, man, this guy is, and then he sees the safe. He goes, don't worry, the guy, don't bother trying to explain. He goes, this is a simple case for me. And the dad kind of bows. He goes, what do you mean simple? Then the guy who's the butler, father's coworker, says, why don't you sit in this chair? And he goes, well, and then the other guy goes, I'm going to play some, why don't we play some pool? And he goes, okay, I won't sit in the chair. I'll play some pool. Then the butler pulls out another thing. He's like, let me mix you a drink. You know what I'm saying? That won't be helpful either. And so he thinks that's smooth. He says, let me bring this over to you. Would you like a drink, aperitif? Sure. And he looks at it, he almost takes a sip. But then he's so polite, he goes, hey, why don't you take that one? And then the butler's like, don't drink it, man. Don't drink it. He's trying to do it behind Buster Keaton's back. Goes, I think there's something in the drink. And the guy goes, yeah, it's your finger, dude. Goes, all right, well, I'll take it out, throw it away. But Sherlock Jr. is like, that's interesting. Then they say, okay, how about billiards? Goes, okay. Then he almost sits down again, but then it's his turn, so he doesn't quite sit down. Then the other guy, the butler, almost sits down by accident. Keaton's watching him. He knows something's up. He sinks one ball, and then the guy changes out the 213 balls. And he goes, by the way, watch out for that 13 ball, you know what I'm saying, to John Cleese. He goes, you know, sink everything but the 13. And Keaton's waiting for his turn. Oh, he's got like a bunch of balls. He's got to break up, you know, they're all good, but gone together. Somehow he breaks up all the balls without hitting 13. Then he starts, he's not very good, but I don't know if he even accidentally made one of them, but just misses the 13 a few times. They're running out of the room. He's like, has he got the ball yet? And the other butler's like, no, he keeps missing them, dude. Then all the balls again are together, but he still misses the 13, which is funny. Waiting on him, missed again, obviously. He goes, are you sure? They're like, now Keaton's aiming. Two balls are near 13. He aims right at 13, still misses, sinks two more balls or one ball. Then he's only got a few balls left, sinks another one like a trick shot, just missed, the butler says, but now he's going to do a trick shot over 13, oh, around. He does like an English shot where he looped it around, even though 16 was in front of it now, or 13. Now there's only one left. 13 is the only one left, and he scratches, he jumps over 13, scratches. So it's the other guy's turn. I don't know why he took out another ball, though. Is that like a penalty? It's the other guy's turn, I think. Or is Keaton not playing by the rules? I mean, I guess maybe he took out his last ball he made. So John Cleese goes, does not make a shot, so Keaton makes the whatever ball, 8 ball, I guess. They run out of the room again. Like, that was a close one, man. That was close. Only 13's left. And Keaton makes it and walks out. They're like, what the heck? How's that even possible? Then they go in, they check the 13. Did he switch it? How's this even? What in the? And then they go, they check, the ball is gone. The ball they switched out is hidden. Then they almost set off the thing. Then the other guy's like so stressed, he accidentally drinks the drink he mixed, or he's about to. He does. And then he's like, okay, end of my game. Then we see Keaton, who has the 13. He shakes it. He realizes something's up. He almost drops it. By the next day, mastermind had completely solved the mystery, with the exception of locating the pearls and finding the thief. Party har har. So this will be interesting, though, seeing how this resolves. He's going to have to, so we got like a movie within a movie situation here. Now he's got different gloves on. He's got an assistant, Gillette, who's ever ready, an ever ready gem, like a battery. Let's see, Gillette has a cane, hands it to, I guess he's getting dressed to go out on the town. So it's like his valet or something. Oh, he had a mirror, but it was like not a mirror. There's a giant safe. He checks his giant safe. It opens up. It's his front door. It's a bunch of good. Those are gags, I guess. Those are good. He goes out in the world. Then we see him crossing the street, and then he's hiding behind a telephone pole, and the Jean Cleese character comes out. He's outside of like a corner store, but he doesn't go in the corner store. He goes into maybe a barbershop. I don't know. Nope, he goes into a house, goes up to the second floor, realizes he's being followed, takes off his hat, lays it down, and fakes like he went up on the roof, but hides in a closet. So then, what's his name, goes up, Buster Keaton, Sherlock Jr. goes up on the roof, and then he locks him in the roof. Then Buster Keaton's on the roof, door's locked, get a great shot of the town, a lot of power poles, North Leaf's grocery. Guy gets back in his car, Buster Keaton's running around the roof, watching him get in the car, but he jumps onto a train thing and like uses it like an action move to lower himself into the car stealthily. Puts his feet up in the back seat. John Cleese's character can't even see anything except somebody else is behind them. So now we got two people. And then we go in and we see that they got pocket watches. And the Keaton's like, who's following me? And it's another guy. And it's like, hey, I'm your valet, man. I'm your assistant, Gillette. So then he has a magical... What is this? Oh, a costume. So Buster Keaton is like, okay, I'm going to go in undercover. Meanwhile, they're looking at all the loot, John Cleese and his team, and including pearls. He puts something in the window, the case for the costumes, but the door's open and, they pull him into the room and they say, hey, what's the big idea, man? Got anything on you? He's like, oh boy, do I. They say, who do you think you are? Sherlock Jr.? He says, yeah. And they take his pocket watch. They pick his pocket from his pocket watch. Somehow he picks it back. So sleight of hand stuff. Then he has another one. He gives it that one back. And everybody's confused. And he sits on the table silently. And the guy goes, why don't you look at that in the other room? There's somebody else in there. And he goes, yeah, that's the last guy. He goes, he's another detective. Sherlock One. He goes, well, I'm Sherlock Jr. And he says, where's my date, man? I can't, you know, just because I can't afford a $4, $3 box of chocolates, doesn't mean you get to, like, how does that make you more dateable than me? Because this is the value system this film was made during. He goes, by the way, it's just reality of the world. You can barely afford $1 chocolate. I can afford $3 chocolate. Fancier box, bigger box. Meanwhile, they're still talking on and on and on. His circle costume thing's still in the window. Oh, wow. Brilliant. So this is like another action movie thing that I'd never seen. I mean, I didn't realize how far back it was. This is at, whoops, I just hit the wrong button. It was, it's at about 30 minutes into the movie. 33. And I'll start playing it again. So what he does is he has this giant circle that looks like a trampoline, but it has a costume in it. He puts it in the window. Then he dives out the window to get away, dives into the costume, like, so it's fully on his body. So when they run out of the apartment or their hideout, all they see, he's like he's kind of like some regular person you just never take notice of. And so they just run right by him. I mean, it really works. Meanwhile, we also see that his date is like going to like a vacation cottage. So the other guy, the butler guy, is still fine. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the time. 34:20 right now. Yeah, we see the exterior. They say, Sherlock Jr., you're more like like he shows him the pearls even. Oh, he grabs the pearls, dives into the dress, dives out, even has a wig on. So, like, how did he get away? They don't know, right, realize that one other person is standing there. So then they start searching around. And the one guy walks up. He looks at the face of, like, then now we got a little running race. He throws off the costume. But there's, like, four people chasing Keaton now, or Sherlock Jr. He uses the costume to make another, now they're searching for him, but he's hidden. And then another person who's selling ties and watches. It's his assistant. He says, come hide in my tie box. So Gillette's selling. Oh, my gosh. It's another gag, like a magic trick. He dives through the box and looks like he dives through Gillette out a door. Amazing stunts. That was at, so in 30, in 2 minutes, you get two actions level stunts. Then we see that it's a secret door and, so he gets rid of two guys, he locks them out, but then another guy's chasing him. Now we got full speed action. Also have somebody on a motorbike. He says, you're running too fast, man. He goes, you got to pull over. You're running too fast. You're not allowed to run this fast. I'm on a motorbike. And Sherlock Jr. goes, I have a Sherlock Jr. Then we realize it's Gillette again. He says, hop on the handlebars of my bike, dude. So then the other guy starts running away. Then we see the four dudes. But I think now they're in a car. So again, very action. And then we got comedy. He's riding on the handlebars of a motorcycle. Oh my gosh. This gets better and better, man. Talk about rising action and the good use. So we're 36 minutes in this movie. So they're riding on a motorcycle. So he's doing like different bits while he's on the handlebars, you know, like making casual conversation. Then they go over a bump. The driver, Gillette, of the motorcycle falls off. But Buster Keaton's still on the handlebars. And of course, he's not paying attention. So he's like, hey, could you slow down a little? Then they start riding through town, busy streets. He says, can you slow down, please? He has no idea. So again, it's just like, oh my gosh. Like, again, just like a regular modern film. Practical. You got effects. You got practical effects. They go through town. Somebody speeds by somebody with their laundry. They drop their laundry. Now they're going up into the country in the hills. He's still saying, slow down, man. Slow down. Then the bunch of guys are putting dirt on the road. They're throwing them. There's a rope tug of war going on. I don't know what this is going to do. Oh, he goes through the rope. He starts pulling all the guys on the rope. Goes by a bunch of people drinking on picnic tables. So now they're mad at him. He's still dragging. Oh, no. Then he loses those guys in a creek bed, which is funny. Then there's a train trestle or a bridge. He's going over the bridge. The bridge isn't finished, but two trucks happen to go. So he does like rolls over two trucks to complete the bridge. Bridge ends, but it ends like just in time for him to just skate through. Then you got a road blocked by trees, and they're trying to get rid of the trees. Then he goes through a blockade. Then there's some sort of giant, I don't know what that is, some box mover. And meanwhile, he thinks that the other guy's driving. He's like, I can't believe you got us through all that, man. Now he's peacefully just riding along. Then they're coming by, again, they fly by cars, trains. Now they're in an orchard. This point, he's like, dude, what are you doing? And then he turns around. Of course, he sees there's nobody driving. Buffalo something. Okay, now the butler and his date, they're like, yeah, by the way, like, we were the ones that stole your dad's pearls. Hardy har har. Keaton, oh my gosh, like, again, another effect straight out of a thing. So this is at 39:31 on the one I'm watching. He's riding the motorcycle towards the hideout where his date is and the butler. The motorcycle is stopped by two logs. He's sitting down. He flies forward through a window and then connects through the window over a table into the butler and sends a butler to dreamland. Says to his date, okay, we better get out of here. Meanwhile, the other guys come. They climb out the window. They get in the other guy's car and they try to make a getaway. So we got 5 minutes left here. Already the action's risen to a point. So now it's like the little car chase. Keaton is not a very good driver. Again, this is all filmed on. I mean, there's multiple shots. Moving. All the shots are moving. Some are stationary on the car. He's got the 13 bowling or the 13 billiard ball. He hands the wheel to her. Throws a billiard ball, which puts her car out of commission. And four-wheel brakes. So this car has four-wheel brakes, I guess. So they're together. She's like, you got to be kidding me. They drive. The brakes are so effective that the car keeps going, even though the chassis or whatever, the bottom of the car stops. So then they're in a boat. Their car becomes a boat. And he gets out of the front door, realizes he's in the water. He didn't realize it till that point. Falls in the water. She pulls him out of the water. Closes the door. And, then he makes a sail from the convertible. Of course, I bet you we know what's going to happen next. But yeah, he's using the sail. The boat is actually moving. This is, again, they must have had to build this effect. He hands the pearls to her. She hugs him. And he says, look at how beautiful these hills are as we're traveling through here. And then the boat stops floating and it goes underwater. And they're swimming. So he says, we better get swim to shore because we're both fully dressed. And then he wakes up swimming in the projection booth, falls off his stool. I'm sure that the movie stopped playing. Looks out. Nope, movie's still playing. Now he's awake. He starts thinking about things. Projectors are steaming. Now we have the father and his date. She's like, hey, I'm going to visit my... that's his boss. She goes to visit him at work. She says, listen, I got to apologize. We've made a terrible mistake because I went to the pawn shop and asked who pawned my dad's watch. And they said, a man that looks like John Cleese in the future. But she says, it's going to take me longer to apologize than that. And then he's kind of speechless. He looks out back at the movie. And now he's going to try to imitate the movie because the guy in the movie is also trying to connect with his date. So he takes both, the guy takes both of her hands in his hand. So Keaton says, man, this looks like a good idea. So he takes his date's hands in his hands, like stacked on top. So it's like a forehand sandwich. Then he watches again and the guy goes to kiss the top hand. Somehow her hand's on top of a forehand. It must be maneuvering, but Yeah, so he kisses her hand, the back of her hand. Then he looks at the camera again. Then the woman looks back at him from the screen. Oh, and then the guy in the movie slips on the engagement ring. So he says, I'll do that too. But of course, he can't find it. And I think he finds something else. Maybe it's it. He slips on her finger and watches her, then looks back at the camera. And they kiss. In the movies, they kiss, like, just a little longer than Peck, but not very long. And then he goes in for a kiss, but it's like a very, oh, he just pecks, and it's awkward. It looks like teeth squeezing peck. Then they hug in the movie, like a real embrace. And in the movie, they shortcut to, like, the, like, future where they have two twins. He says, is that how that worked? I never knew about that. And then he just scratches his head. And that's the end of the movie. Yeah, that's Sherlock Jr., our first Buster Keaton coverage. Hopefully it won't be our last. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. And new experiment and sleep with me. You know, shows. Thanks, Buster Keaton and everybody else. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season 1 part 2, almost 6 hours. That's is about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd all intro episode came out, and then we had March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed,
Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience, and I said, this has got to be an episode, and that will be a series, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.